Okay, Shalom Rabbosai. Today's daf is Pesachim Daf Nun Hey. We're here at the top of Nun Hey Amar Aleph at the two dots. Right, we had said in the Mishnah that b'chol makom talmid chacham mevatlim emalachtan. That everybody, if you're a talmid chacham on Tisha B'av, right, we're discussing the malacha, the minhag to do malacha or not to do malacha on Tisha B'av. Right, so there are different places, but a talmid chacham should not do malacha on Tisha B'av. And then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said that anybody can choose to be like a Talmid Chacham, and we pointed out that apparently, what does Rabbi Shimon Gamliel hold? That there's no problem of yuara, of extra gaiva, arrogance, in making a person, making oneself like a Talmid Chacham in this regard. So the Gemara says, the name of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Salva lo chashinu liyura, this really Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is not concerned for this extra gaiva here, for Rabbanan, Savri chashinu liyura, and it's the Rabbanan, it's the Tanakama who holds the Rabbanan hold against him, and they are concerned for Yura, and that's why Rabbi Shimon Gamliel had to add in the Mishnah that a person can be a Talmid Chacham if he wants. Rabbi Mistama the Tanakama or the Chachamim disagree with that. So apparently, what do you see from our Mishnah? That Rabbi Shimon Gamliel doesn't care about Yura, and the Chachamim does. And the Chachamim do. But we learned the opposite. But it's not because we learned in the Mishnah. This Mishnah is in Brachos. Chosan im yirtze likros kriyash ma leila rishona kore. If a chosan on the first night of his wedding wants to say kriyashma, he is allowed to. Rav Shimon Gamliel omer lo kol harutza litol sashem yitol. That not anybody who wants to say Hashem's name, to say Shem Hashem, is able to. You have to have a certain amount of kavana. And obviously on the first night of a chosan's wedding night, it's not so easy to focus. So apparently, what do you see? Rav Shimon Gamliel is concerned for Yura. Not everybody is allowed to just say kriyashma whenever they want. And the Chachamim say that they are. So that is against what we saw in our Mishnah, where Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is not concerned for Yehura, and the Chachamim are. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan Muchlef as Ashita. Rabbi Yochanan says, sure enough, you got to switch the opinions. Rav Shisha Breder Rav Idi Amar Lo Tepuch. No, don't switch anything, because the Rabbanan Lo Kasha, there's no problem in the Rabbanan Shita, because Hacha over here came into Kuli Amma Avdi Malacha, Liu Lo Avdi, Lo Avid. There's no problem between the two Shitas, right? Because why did the Chachamim say over here that it's usher to make yourself like a Talmid Chacham and not do Malacha? Because everybody's doing work all around you and you're not doing anything. So then Michzi Ki Yura, that looks like Gaiva. That looks like, I'm not doing any work, right? Everybody sees you. That's Gaiva. Aval Hasam, but there, by the Chosan saying Kriyashma, Kevin, Dekuli Alma Kari, Vihu Nami Kari, what's happening? Everybody's saying Kriyashma, everybody in the world, right, is saying Kriyashma at night, and this guy also. So, Lo Mechziki Yura, that doesn't look like any added Gaiva. So, that's no problem. So, Rav Shimon Gamliel, the Rav Shimon Gamliel Lokasha, and also Rav Shimon Gamliel is not a stira either, because Hasam Hud by eating Kavana, because there by Kriyashma, what's the whole point of Kriyashma? You need to have proper Kavana when you say Kriyashma to be Mekaba, Omo Chushamayim, etc. So that's why Vanan Sadi the Lomati Kavne Daite. We all know that he can't focus. Right? There's other things going on, other mitzvot to take care of tonight. So he can't focus. So then Mechzi Kiyura, so that looks like Gaiva, right? If he goes ahead and says, you know what, I can handle this. Well, we're telling you, no, you can't. Avahacha, but over here, Lo Mechzi Kiyura, but it doesn't look like, if the guy just refrains from doing Malacha, so that doesn't look like Gaiva. Why? Because Amri, they will say, right? I missed a line, sorry. Right, no, I'm good. Amri, people will say, Malacha he the leslay pukhazi kalam batlani kibashuka, right? Like we quoted before. Right? It's not a bal gaiva thing not to do work. It could be that Rachma Latzlan, he's out of work and he doesn't have any work to do. So he's not trying to be a bal gaiva, he's just sitting around waiting for someone to offer him a job or something. It could be that if someone offers you a job and you refrain, maybe that would be gaiva. All right, either way, it doesn't look like gaiva over here, according to Shimon Gamliel, and therefore there's no stira between the two Mishnahs. Okay, new Mishnah. Again, we're just talking about different things that are minhagim. Now we kind of go back to Erev Pesach, or the minhag, to whether a person should do work on Erev Pesach or not. So that's why we have the Chachamim Omrim, right? We're going back to the talking about Erev Pesach and Malacha. The Chachamim say, Bi Yehuda hayu'osu Malacha bar v'Pesach amal chatzos. In Yehuda, in the middle of the country, so then they would do Malacha until noon. V'galil lo yosu in kol ikar. They wouldn't do anything. So what about Halayla? What about the night of the 14th, i.e. the night you do Bidikas Chametz? What about that? Do you do Malacha at night? Right, again, because, you know, if there's an Isser Malacha on a certain day, so normally, right, that extends to the previous nighttime, right? Day of Yontif, day of Shabbos, right? We don't do Malacha at night. So if you tell me there's a day of Isser Malacha, so what about the night that precedes it? So Beshame Oshim, Ubeshila Matirna, the Netzachama, Beshame says it's Osir, and Beshila says Mutter until sunrise. Now, excuse me. So Gemara says Mel in second. Meikara Tan. The Mishnah had said, if you remember, right, the Chachamim were talking about the Minog, the Minhagim in Yehuda and the Galil. And then we have a Machokas B'Shavis Hillel. Well, it's Mutter or Aser to do Malachas. So the Gemara notes that Stira, right? Meikara Tan Minhaga, Lulavasov Tan Isura. Right? Originally, we're talking about a Minog, right? You're telling me that not to do Malacha on Erev Pesach is a minig, and then you're telling me whether it's Aser, it's Mutter, what's going on over here? Is there an Iser here? Is it just a minig? Hey, what's the deal? Is it Dindar Rabbanan? So you have to clarify. Some Rabbi Yochanan, Lokasha, Harav Meir, Har Rabbi Yehuda. Actually, the two parts of the Mishnah are Machlokas, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, like we learned in the Raisa, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that Bi Yehuda, I owe some Malacha, Barbi Pesachim, and Chatzos, who Galil ain't an Osin Kol Iker. Right, that's literally the first part of our Mishnah. That's what Rabbi Yehuda said. Tamarlo, Rabbi Meir said back to him, Ma Raya, Yehuda, Galil, Lakan. What's the point of bringing in Yehuda and Galil? Right? What does that have to do with anything? Meaning, why does that impact other towns? Right? So Ella Makom Shenagu Lasos Malacha Osin Makom Shenagu Shelo Lasos Ein Osin. Right? Right. It just depends on what the minhag is. Right? So Midgamah says from the fact that we learn, right? Again, well, the Gemara says, right? Midgamah Rabbi Meir Minhaga, from the fact that Rabbi Meir says it's dependent on minhag. Right? Apparently, what do you see? Mechal Rabbi Yehuda Yisura Gamar. Apparently, Rabbi Yehuda saying that the Chachamim in Yehuda said it was Mutter until Chatzos, and the Chacham in the Galil said it was Aser until Chatzos. Sorry. It's apparently you see that this is the Machlokes of our Mishnah, where the original part is talking is Rabbi Meir, and the last part where we start talking about Isurim, that's Rabbi Yehuda. So Gemara says, one second, V'sar Rabbi Yehuda, Arbas, or Mutter, L'Vasiyas, Malacha? What do you mean? You're telling me that according to Rabbi Yehuda, right, that you can do Malacha, right, on Erev Pesach, i.e., according to the Chachamim in Yehuda, right, you can do malacha and tochatos in Erev Pesach. Vatani will under the brayser. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Hamanakesh b'shloshasar. Someone who's weeding his field on the 13th. Okay, so now there's a little bit of a background before we get into this. So there's a din called Chadosh and Yashan by grain. That basically all grain in a given year needed to take root before the Korban Omer was brought on the second day of Pesach. Once the Korban Omer was brought on the second day of Pesach, that allowed all the new grain, i.e. all the Chadash, to be eaten that year. How do you define Chadash? How do you define new grain? Any grain that had taken root before the Korban Omer was brought. So that was that. I mean, if it took root after the Korban Omer, then you needed to wait till the next year's Korban Omer to eat that grain. Now, what happens? Rabbi Yehuda says you're weeding on the 13th, of Nisan. And what happens? V'nekra b'yodo. Now, back in the Gemara, right? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Amenachesh b'shalshasra, you're weeding on the 13th. V'nekra b'yodo. And you uproot, right, one ear, or one stalk, ear of corn, stalk of grain, whatever it is. Let's say a stalk. So what the problem is, now this is detached from the ground. Now it's detached from the ground, and it was reaped before the Korban Omer. That's going to be a problem. Now you're going to get messed up. So you're not going to be able to use that. So what do? You want to replant it in the ground and make sure that it was rooted right by the time the Korban Omer was brought. So it says, Rabbi Yehuda, you need 3 days. That these stalks take 3 days to take root. So therefore, shosla b'makom atit, vein shosla b'makom agarid, make sure you plant it in a moist area as opposed to a dry area, because you want to make sure it will take root by the 16th. So now, the implication being, right, b'shloshasar in barbarasar lo, right? Why did he specify the 13th? Apparently, you need the 13th, 14th, and 15th, right? And then by the 16th in the morning, when they bring the Korban Omer, right, the second day of Pesach, then everything will be good. So, one second, michti, hold on a second. Something, right? Again, this statement that I said before, that anything that it takes 3 days for this to take root, for this stalk to take root in the ground. So, but if you're telling me that, according to, again, what did Rabbi Yehuda say? In the Yehuda, yeah, that's not him, but meaning in the area of Eretz Yisrael, the Chachamim said you could do Malacha on the 14th of Nisan, on Erev Pesach, until Chatzos. If you tell me it's Mutter to plant on the 14th, so Lama Li Shlosh Asar, why is he specifying that this has to happen on the 13th? Vayika Arbeisar V'chamishar Mitzah Shisar. You have the 3 days you have. If you plant it the morning of the 14th, you have the 14th, the 15th, and then the 16th, yes, they bring the Korban Omer in the morning, but Mitzah Seyon Kekulo, and that's 3 days. Right, so apparently, what do you see? You must be from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda specified the 13th that it's usher to do malacha on the 14th. Well, then how could Rabbi Yehuda say that the Chachamim and Yehuda allowed people to do malacha up until Chatzos on the 14th? So Amarava beGalil Shanu Inuchanami. You're right that this price is in the Galil. Again, well, what was the second part of Rabbi Yehuda's statement? That yeah, the Rabbanim in the Yehuda area say it's Mutter, but in the Galil it's Aser. So this Brisa, which is talking about planting in terms of the Korban Omer, etc., that's talking about in the Galil where it was Aser to do Malacha on the 14th. So Gemara says, "Ay vayika lele," but what about planting at night? Which is, why don't you do it at the nightfall? Meaning, why do you have to plant on the 13th? Why do you plant on the 14th at night? So the Gemara Omer Rav Sheshe is Kebe Shammai. So really, he's saying like Be Shammai, right? Again, you have to add on Be Shammai Shita that you can't do Malacha on the night of the 14th. Ravashi Omer, Ravashi says, Olam Kebe Selo. He said, no, you can even hold like Be Selo, because why aren't you planting if you were weeding at night? With Fisha ain't darker, and Shobin Adam, Nachash Malayla. Right? It's not like they had, lights in the fields that didn't. The only source of light you could have was a torch. Right? That was a terrible idea to bring in the field. No one's weeding in the middle of their field at night, whether a torchlight or even if the full moon's out, no one's doing that. So that doesn't make any sense, right? If the case is where he was weeding, it must be during the daytime. So therefore, if it's also do malacha on the 14th in the Galil, so therefore, he must have been doing it on the 13th. Ravina, Amar Ravina says, La'olam bi'Yehuda. Really? No. We can say that Rabbi Yehuda was talking about in the area of Eretz Yisrael, in the Yehuda area. Vashosha chad mitzis hayom kukula aminan tre mitzis hayom kukulo lo amrina. And says Ravina, very sharp, he says, what happens if you plant it on the 14th? All right, so then you have the 14th and 15th, and we say mixtasim kukulo on the 16th as well. Well, you're also saying mixtasim kukulo on the 14th, right? Because you're not planting it, right? Mamish as the day starts. For some, you get up, and let's say an hour later, you go and you plant it. So that's mixtasim kukulo on the 14th, 15th, and 16th. The 15th is a full day. So you don't need, I mean, you can say mixtasim kukulo on one end, but you can't say on two ends. That's why you need to plant it on the 13th. Because if you can plant it on the 14th, then you're saying mixtasim kukulo on two out of the 3 days, right? And that's not shaykh. Okay. Rabbi Meir, Omer, new Mishnah. Rabbi Meir says, Kol malacha shitchil ba kodem l'arbasar, gomra b'arbasar. In terms of the heter malacha on Erev Pesach, right, that, according to Rabbi Meir, that's only if you started malacha, so started a process before Erev Pesach, and you're allowed to finish it on Erev Pesach. But you're not allowed to start a job on the 14th, even though you are able to finish it. Right? Again, even if you're able to finish it, right, that's not the issue. The issue here is, we're concerned, even if the minhag is, to what's it called? Well, we'll see exactly what we're talking about I'm trying to give background, but the Gemara will explain it in a second. Either way, the Chachamim say, Gimel umanios osim malacha barbi psachim ad chatzos. Right? If you tell me there's a heter malacha, only three jobs, only three professions are allowed to do malacha. Elohim, these are them. Achayotim, those are tailors. Sofrim, those are scribes. Saparim, which is barber, a sapar is a barber, Vakovsin, and people doing laundry. Rabbi Yossi, Bar Yehuda, Omer, Afaratzanim, even shoemakers are allowed to work. Let's see what the Gemara says about our Mishnah. Again, Rabbi Meir, if you remember, had said, you're allowed to finish a job you started before the 14th, but you're not allowed to start a job on the 14th, even though you're able to finish it before Pesach starts. So, Ibai Luhu, or before Chatzos, rather. Ibai Luhu, that's the question. L'tzorach hamoed tnan, aval shalol l'tzorach hamoed, afilu migmar namilo, o dilma shalol l'tzorach hamoed tnan, aval l'tzorach itchule matchalinon. Well, I guess let's take a step back. Right, they ask the following question: is Rabbi Meir talking about if you need this malacha for yontif, right? But if you don't need it for malacha, you're even not allowed to finish, right? Are you only allowed to finish malacha that you need for yontif? Oh, Dilma, or maybe shalol l'tzorach hamoed tnan. Really, Rabbi Meir is making a distinction in malacha you don't need for Pesach. Aval tzorech, but if you need the malacha for Pesach, et chuli matchalinan, you're even allowed to start malacha on Erev Pesach if you need it for yontif. Oh, Dilma, or maybe bein l'tzorach hamoed, bein shalol l'tzorach hamoed, migmar in tchuli lo, or maybe it's irrelevant what you need this malacha for, right? You're not allowed to start a job on Erev Pesach, but you are allowed to finish. Period. End of story. So the Gemara is trying to figure out. So Tashma, we're going to try and bring a bunch of proofs and try and figure out what Rabbi Meir's Shita is. Avalo yatchil betchila bar basar. The Brisa says, You're not even allowed to start on the 14th. Afilu tziltzil katan, even a tiny belt. Right, you're not allowed to even make a tiny belt. Afilu shvacha ktana, or even a tiny net, a tiny net for hair. So the Gemara says, my afilu, what do you mean even? You're not even allowed to make this tiny small belt or this tiny hair net. So lava filu honey dilatzar chamoid isn't it implying that even if you need it for yontif, you're still not allowed to start it, and therefore migmar in atchuli lo, right? You're only allowed to finish, you're not allowed to start a job. And mechlad shalolu tzarach migmar nami lo gaminan, right? Implying that if you don't need the malacha for Pesach, you're also not even allowed to finish a job. So Gemara says, "Lo, no, laolam d'shalolu tzarach." Really, talking about the case over here is that you don't need the belt or the hairnet for Yontif. You're mikmar nami gamiran. You're also allowed to finish that work. Umay afilu. So what does it mean? Even a hairnet or even a small belt? So afilu honey nami dezutrininu. Even these small, tiny, little, nothing jobs, that's still you're not allowed to start. Right, you're only allowed to finish. Because you might have thought to say, right, so when you start, you're done. Right, there are not many stages in this process. Right, you start, you're done, the end. So, therefore, you might have thought that you can start the job because there's literally nothing to it. So the Gemara says, therefore, the Bryce is saying not. Okay, Tashma, let's bring another proof. Right, I mean, we don't have any idea what Rabbi Meir was referring to. Right, is he talking about something that is needed for Yontif, that's not needed for Yontif, or maybe it doesn't matter? So let's figure it out. Rabbi Meir, Omer, Kol Malacha Shehi L'Tzarach HaMoed, Gom Ravar Basar. Anything that you need for Yontif, here we have more clear, more specific. Anything that you need for Yontif, you can finish on the 14th. Eim Asai, when is that? Bisman Shehi T'chil Ba Kodem Ar Basar. That's as long as you started it before the 14th. Avalohi T'chil Ba Kodem Ar Basar, Lo Yat T'chil Ba Bar Basar. But if you didn't start, then you shouldn't start on the 14th. Avilu Tzil Tzakadan, Avilu Shvaka Ktanan. It's more explicit, right? Even a small belt, or a small hair net. So the Gemara implies, L'tzorach HaMoed In, Shalo L'tzorach HaMoed Lo. Right, so apparently, what do you see? That if you need it, we're very clear in the Braisa. If you need it for Yontif, yes. If you don't need it for Yontif, no. And who adinda filu shel tzarach nami gamrinan. But implying that's the rejection. Meaning, the implication is that you only can finish if you need it. But if you don't need for the Yontif, then you can't finish. Skamar says, no. Hu adinda filu shel tzarach nami gamrinan. Really, according to this Braisa, if you don't need it for Yontif, you can still finish the job, whatever job you're dealing with. So what is it teaching me? Right, so really what it's coming to teach is that even if you need it, right, you're allowed to finish, but you're not allowed to begin. Right, so if I toshima, so that teaches me that if you need it for Yontif, right, then you're allowed to finish, but you're not allowed to start. But what about if you don't need it for Yontif? So then the Gemara finally finishes off and figures it out. Tan Shema with under the Braiser, Rabbi Meir, Omer, Kol Malacha, Shehi L'Tzarach HaMoed, Gomra, Bar Basar, any Malacha that is necessary for Yontif, so you can finish it on the 14th. V'she'en L'Tzarach HaMoed, Aser. Finally, if you don't need it for Yontif, then it's Aser to finish it. V'osem Malacha, Bar V'Psachim, Echatzos, and you can do Malacha on Erev Pesach, Antochatzos, but Mokom Shenagu. Right, as long as the Mokom, as long as that's the minig of the place where you are. Makom shenagu in lo nagu lo. Right, apparently, what do you see? Right, again, as we've been saying, if there's a minig to do malacha, then yes, but if there's no minig to do malacha, meaning if the minig is to refrain from malacha, so then you shouldn't. Ushmamina, and therefore we see from here, the tzarach hamoed in, shalo tzarach hamoed lo, shmamina. Right, and finally, we have an explicit brisa that says if you don't need the malacha for yontif, so then you're not even allowed to finish something that you started. Okay, so the Chachamim Omrim Shalosh Umanios, right? The Chachamim had said three jobs, three professions are allowed to do malacha on Erev Pesach. The Gemara says, Tana Chayotim, what about, why tailors, right? Shekein Hedyo Tofer Kedarko B'chol Shalmoed, because a regular person can do Tfira on Cholomoed, right? Underrated. That there is a certain element of Isser Malacha on Chol HaMoed, right? We very often think that Chol HaMoed is just, we take the Chol more than the Moed, right? And we kind of like just think that there's a carte blanche heter to do Malacha. It's not necessarily true. When we say that the Gemara says the Moed Katan, right? That's where we learn about most of the halachas by Chol HaMoed, so that a regular person is allowed to sew on Chol HaMoed. That does not constitute Malacha. So Mestama, right? If you're going to compare Erev Pesach to Chol HaMoed, Erev Pesach is naturally not going to be as chamor as Chol HaMoed. So if it's mutter on Chol HaMoed, it's going to be mutter on Erev Pesach. So a hedyard is allowed to sew on Chol HaMoed, so therefore he's also allowed to sew, the tailors for sure are allowed to sew on the 14th of Nisan. Hasaparim, the barbers, Vakovsin, and the people doing laundry, professional, let's say the dry cleaning. Right, we know in general it's us to take a haircut or to do laundry on Chol HaMoed, but there are some exceptions to people, let's say, for example, who are on a long overseas trip or someone who is in jail. So they're allowed to take haircuts and do laundry. So just like there is a heter there, so there's also a heter on Erev Pesach. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudo, Omer Afar, Ratzonim, even shoemakers. Shekin Oli the Regolim, Betaknin Medalem, Shokhalosha, Bokhalosha Moid. Apparently, the shoemakers were allowed to work in Chol HaMoed because, again, people used to come, Mitzashem, Neher Yibana Beis HaMikdash, people used to travel far and wide, come to Beis HaMikdash, Oli Regal, their shoes would get broken, so you could fix them on Chol HaMoed. So over here, right, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudo, you were allowed to do that on Erev Pesach as well. Now, obviously, from the fact that Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudo had to add that, so Mistam of the other Tanaim, in the Gemara, the Chacham don't agree with that. So apparently, they argue on him. So the Gemara says, "But my kamiflegi, what's this machlokas?" So Mar Saver lamidim tchilas malacha misof malacha, or Mar Saver ain lamidim tchilas malacha misof malacha. But the question is, well, yeah, they were allowed to fix the shoes that broke, but that doesn't necessarily tell me that you're allowed to make shoes straight up. Right, are you allowed to make, does that teach him? So according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, if you can fix the shoe, so then you can make a shoe. According to the Chachamim, so that's not necessarily true, right? That, yes, in a Chanami, you can fix a shoe, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're allowed, you know, full reign for the shoemakers to do all of their work on Erev Pesach. Okay, new Mishnah. Moshivin shovachin l'tarnagolim barbasar. You're allowed to put an egg under a hen. On the 14th, again, obviously, if the hen sits on the egg, she will incubate it and turn it into a chick, etc., etc. So that is mutter on the 14th. It's not usher, but we'll see exactly what's going on over here. V'tarnagel shebarcha, and also a chicken that ran away, right? Machzirin osalim koma, you can put her back. V'mesa, and if one of the chickens died, so then moshiv v'necharis tachta, you can put that on the egg as well, right? That's not considered to be unnecessary malacha. Gorfim mitakas regli behemah bar basar. You're allowed to clear away any animal dung from underneath the animal's feet on the 14th. Uvamoid misakan let's dadim on ban chol HaMoed. So then you should just kind of like sweep it to the sides. Again, you don't want to do any extra tircha. So you kind of sweep it out on the side and then get rid of it after Yom Tov. Molichin kelim levim beisa uman. You're allowed to take kalim, items, right, utensils or whatever, to someone who can, Beis Uman is I guess someone who will fix them or a craftsman or someone who created them. Even though you don't need it for Yontif, again, we'll explain exactly what's going on in a second. Skumash says, one second. Hashta asuvi masvinan, ahadure mi boya. If you can tell me that it's not, you know, extra tircha to put eggs under a chicken, so you don't need to tell me that you can bring a hen back. Right, obviously, not that I know anything about this, but it takes a much more effort to figure out to get a chicken to sit on eggs than to put her back on the eggs that she was sitting on. Apparently, chickens are not agreeable, and I don't know. Okay, whatever. So apparently, it's obvious. And if you can put an egg on, get a chicken to sit on an egg, you can return her. So Amar Abaye says, Seifa, Asan L'Chol HaShamayit. So the Seifa is talking about Chol HaMoed, where you're not allowed to put an egg underneath the chicken, but you are allowed to put the chicken back. All right. Amar Rav Huna says, Lo Shanu Elatok Shloshan Lamirda. That is only if she were putting her back within 3 days of her, running away from sitting on the eggs. Dakati lo parach tzimra mine, because the tzimra is the temperature, meaning it literally means that the fact that she wants to sit on the egg, right, and keep it warm, etc., apparently that hasn't left her within 3 days. Achar shlosha liyeshiva, so the pasta le be'a legamre, but after 3 days, if a chicken has sat on an egg for 3 days and then she left for 3 days, if a chicken has originally sat on an egg and then left for 3 days, apparently the egg ruins, right, again, if it just basic. I don't have that much knowledge of an egg laying, chicken laying eggs, but apparently all the eggs that we get, chicken lays eggs and leaves them alone, right? There's no sitting for fertilization, etc., etc. Right? So an egg without a chicken sitting on it, that's the ones that we buy at the store. But if a chicken is going to sit on an egg, so then it's going to start, I guess, I would imagine, it's going to start to turn into a chick. So if she's done it for 3 days, if she's started that process and then left for 3 days, then apparently the egg is ruined lagamre. So it has to be within 3 days of her running away from her nest, I guess, whatever you call it, and then bring it back. But if it's after 3 days, then the parakal tzimra mina, right, she has no interest in sitting on the eggs anymore, and that's not shayach. You can't do that. So even within 3 days of her sitting on the eggs, the eggs are not completely ruined. So lo madrinan, right, you're not allowed to return the chicken to the egg because apparently people will eat it. Right, apparently it is still edible if the chicken sat on the egg for less than 3 days. So apparently, to start the process, to get to the point where a person won't eat it, takes 3 days of sitting. And once those 3 days have commenced, right, once those 3 days have happened, so if a chicken leaves for 3 days, so then the egg will ruin completely. But inside of that, so then apparently there's still hope for this egg, and therefore you're allowed to return the chicken. Rabbi Ami says, afilu tok shloshli shivas madrinan, even within 3 days of her sitting on the egg, you can even bring her back on cholamayim. The Gemara says, b'maykam, b'fugi, what's a machlokes? So again, if you remember, right, what we just said before, Ravuna said that you're not allowed to, because the eggs are not completely right. Lo pside bei lagamri. Apparently, they're not completely ruined. But according to Rabbi Ami, you're allowed to bring them back, even though they're not completely destroyed. So what's the machlokes? Mar sarver lehefsid meruva chashu mehefsid muat lo chashu. Mar sarver lehefsid muat nami chashu. Apparently, the machlokes is in terms of how much of a hefsid we're concerned with. Apparently, according to Rav Huna, Chazal were concerned if you lose the entire egg, that's the concern. But if you're not going to lose the entire egg, meaning it's not totally fit for consumption, but people will eat it, right? Even if it's been, I guess, whatever the word is, not fertilized, but again, it's been warmed for 3 days. Some people will eat it, and you don't lose the entire value of the egg. But according to Rav Ami, Chazal were concerned about that scenario as well. Meaning, Kotra Ravuna, Chazal were only concerned that if you may lose the entire egg, and Rabbi Ami was concerned that you may lose even a little value of the egg. Now, we usually think of Hefseid Meruba and Hefseid Muat as like dollar numbers, right? Hefseid Meruba, a big loss, literally translated as, we usually think of that as like, I don't know, $1 million or a big amount of money, right? One egg or a slight less valued egg. Right, does not seem one entire egg does not seem to be hefsid meruba. So the Achronim, if I'm not mistaken, talk about this and they discuss what it means to consider something a hefsid meruba, a big loss. Could be that the percentage, and again, this is obviously a long discussion that I have not put almost any time into researching. So, but if I'm not mistaken, I saw somewhere, I don't remember, that it could be that the percentage. Oh, maybe I heard in one of the shiurim. Yeah, I think I was listening to Rav Aryeh Leibowitz on this daf. I think he mentioned it, that it could be that hefsid meruba is percentage, is that how you calculate hefsid, a big loss versus a small loss, is how much of this item are you going to lose. So if you're going to lose the entire egg, so that's a hefsid meruba, because that's 100%. Okay, fine. I mean, obviously, that that probably doesn't work in all cases where the Gemara mentions hefsid meruba, but either way, that's one way to understand why the Gemara would mention hefsid meruba by a chicken egg, which is obviously sold for very, very cheap. Okay, gorfe mitakas. You're allowed to, let's just get to the Mishnah here, you're allowed to clear out all of the dung from underneath the animal. If you have dung that's in the chotzer, in the courtyard, so then you can just move it to the sides. But if it's out in the stable or in the ashpa in the garbage or in the chotzer or in the courtyard, then you can bring it out to the garbage. The Gemara says, one second, agufakasha. But you just mentioned chatzer twice, and you said in the chatzer you should sweep it to the sides. In the chatzer you should take it out to the garbage. So which one is it? Zevah sheva chatzer misakon so let's dadim. V'hadar tani shabaref sheva chatzer mosin neshal ashpe. So where are you taking this waste? Is it scooping into the sides or going all the way to the garbage? So it depends. Right? If it's an Erev Pesach, so then you can go and take it to the garbage heap. But a chalmoid, where the extra tircha is not mutter, right? It's not really appropriate for a person to exert himself so much. So then you can just kind of like move it to the side and take care of it after Pesach. Rava Amar says no. Both of them are a chol. This is what it means to say. That if it's so bad that the chutzner looks like a stable, right? If there's so much, so then you can already get it out to the ashba. Right, so then you really, you have no recourse. There's no way for you to even push it to the sides, right? There's so much, so then you can already take it out. To the garbage heap. All right, molichin kelim levin beis uman. Right, you can take stuff to and from the uman. Amar of Papa Badiklan Rava. Rava was asked us with the following question. Right, now we weren't the only ones who had tests. Apparently, Rav Papa had tests. Rava tested him with the following kasha. Tanan we learned in the Mishnah molichin levin kelim beis uman. Right, you can bring and take kelim from the craftsman's house. Afal b'she'in am tzorach ha'moed, even though they're not free yontif. Or minu, hold on, I'll ask you a question from our brayso. Ein mevin kelim beis uman. You're not allowed to bring kelim from a craftsman's house. V'im choshes olam shema yignavu. But if you're nervous that someone will steal them, so then mefanin lechatzar acheres, you can bring them out to a different chatzar. Right, meaning apparently, right. But regardless of whatever the concern is over here, right, the Mishnah says you're not allowed to take it from the craftsman back and forth. So how do you resolve that? So Mashnina, we answered Lokasha, Kam Rabas or Kam B'Chol Shel Moed. Well, again, it depends. Is it Chol Moed? Is it the 14th? Well, Chol Moed, right? We don't want extra tircha, extra work. But on the 14th of on an Erev Pesach, there's no such concern. Iboy Lehu, we asked the question up. Iboy Seima, or another answer. Haba Chol Shel Moed. Both of the cases are Chol Moed. V'lokasha Kan Ba Ma'amino Kan B'Sheina Ma'amino. Right, in the Mishnah it said that you can bring it back and forth. So that's when you Ba'amino, you trust him. Right, you don't think that he's gonna get rid of it. Or steal it for you, or he's not going to ask, right? Rashi says not that it's going to steal, but you trust that he's not going to sell it to anybody else, or that he's not going to ask you to pay for it again, right? If you have a good relationship with him, so then you can leave it there. But if you don't trust him, then you're not allowed to take it back, because there's no reason for you to take it back, right? You trust him, he's not going to mess you over on the payment or sell to somebody else. But if you don't trust him, so then you are allowed to bring it home. Vatanya and with under Brisa, and this almost every time, without fail, when usually Vatanya is a question. Vatanya, didn't we learn in Brisa? But once in a while you'll have Vatanya is a proof. And that's what Rashi writes. So just in terms of methodology, if you ever see Vatanya and Rashi writes Benichusa means nicely, right? It was as a proof, as a backup, right? This is proving this idea. So we learned Vatanya Mevim Kalim Besa Uman, you're allowed to bring Kalim from the craftsman's house, Kigon Hakad Mebes Hakadar, like a jug from someone who makes jugs, Vakos Mebes Hazagag, and a cup from the glass blower, right? Avalot Semer Mebes Hatseva, Velo Kalim Mebes Uman, but you're not allowed to bring a wool from the guy who's dyeing wool, Velo Kalim Mebes Uman, and not Kalim from the craftsman, Vim Ein Lo Ma Yochal. But if he doesn't have anything to eat, right, nosin lo scharo umenicho eslo, right, meaning if the guy needs the money, right, meaning the guy who's making the kalim, right, if he really needs to get paid, so you can pay him, but you have to leave it with him. Again, that's i.e. that consider if you trust him. And if you don't trust him, so then manichem bebayis esamachlo, right, then you can put the kalim, right, you can pay him, and then you can put the kalim in a different house. And if you're concerned, Shema Yignavu, then if you're concerned if it'll get stolen, to them, Avian Betzina Betoch Beso, because then you can bring it into your home, right, without anybody looking, right, because then already we're concerned for your money, right, you shouldn't do extra tircha, but if you're concerned that someone's going to steal it, or he's going to sell it, or et cetera, you're going to lose your money, so then you can bring it in to your house quietly. So the Gemara says, 1 second. Meaning, not the Gemara, but I guess Rav Papa asked the Kasha, who was doing the test here? Rava was testing Rav Papa, so Rava said, Rav Papa gave this whole fine, nice answer, and then the teacher said, well, Taratzta Mevian. Well, that all works for why you can get your Kalim from the guy, from the craftsman. But Molichan Kasha, but why are you allowed to take it to him? Right? The Gatani in Mevian, the Kolshakani in Molichan. Right? But he said that you're not allowed to bring, and you're definitely not allowed to take, right? So our Mishnah says you are allowed to take it. So how does that work out, right? We said, right, Mavinu Meilichin. So Ella, rather, midachavarta k'neshnina meikara. Rather, it's much clearer to say that it's not talking about both cases, right? What was the second answer, right? One answer was, it depends on whether it's the 14th or the Chol HaMoed, where you have Hefsi, where you have extra Tircha, is also on Chol HaMoed, it's not also on Erev Pesach. The other answer was that both of them are Chol HaMoed, right? And it depends on whether you trust them, etc. So Rava simply said back, well, what do you mean? How could you've answered whether you can bring the Kalim back from his house, but why is there's still a stira as to whether you can take it to his house? So rather, it must be that the difference between the two brises is talking about Erev Pesach and Chol HaMoed, like we said originally in the first answer. Okay, Shkoyakol the Rabosai, have a great Shabbos, and we'll go back to Hei L'Kishas tomorrow.